Hi, this is Laurie, and welcome to Shamanic Works. Here we are in the depths of winter. Christmas is over, and spring is coming. It's still a long way away, far to the south and deep underground. And as the days grow longer, we can feel its inexorable approach. But it is not yet here. Here in this waiting time is a very good time to consider the ancestors. It is the traditional time in the North of storytelling, stories which would teach about the ancestors and bring us back into contact with them and remind us of who they are and how they're related to us. So that is what we're going to be doing in this show today. We're going to be considering ancestors and what on earth they have to do with us. And before we do that, of course, we're going to begin by opening sacred space in which we can commune with the ancestors. So if you are in a place where you can stand, I would invite you to stand and face east, wherever that may be. That's the direction the sun rises, just in case you've confused yourself momentarily. And if you can stand and face that direction, great. If not, if you don't know where east is, just declare a place magical east, and it will be east for the rest of this work. And if you know where east is, but you're not in a position to stand, then just direct your attention there. And here we go. Spirits of the East, you who throw open the gates of the dawn and invite us to greet the day. Nurturers and nourishers and defenders of that which is young, new, untried, and uncertain. Teach us to nurture, nourish, and defend, and be kind to that which is new and uncertain and untried in ourselves and in our lives as we encounter it. Spirits of the East, lean into us. Join us in this conversation and in this work. Make your wisdom known. And then if you would turn or direct your attention half a turn to your right, clockwise, you will find yourself facing Spirits of the South, you in whom we find the rich fullness of high summer, the warmth and celebration of midday, the richness of all creation. Teach us to fully experience in our bodies the richness of being alive, the fullness of being ourselves. Spirits of the South, draw near to us. Lean into us. Join us in this conversation and in this work. Make your wisdom known. And now if you will turn quarter of a turn to the right, you will find yourself facing west. Spirits of the West, you who prepare our eyes with the softness of your twilight for the darkness of that which we do not yet know. You who teach us to travel light, to be impeccable warriors, to have no need of enemies in this life or in any other, so that we may dance across the rainbow bridge and return bearing gifts. Spirits of the West, stand beside us. Lean into us. Join us in this conversation and in this work. Make your wisdom known. And now if you'll turn another quarter turn to the right, you'll find yourself facing north. Spirits of the North, ancestors, grandmothers, grandfathers, those who have come before us, on whose shoulders we stand, you with the heart to make the epic journey beyond death and return, and you who are ancestors of place, who have always been here. Teach us to have that sort of courage, to make that epic journey. Spirits of the North, ancestors, come and stand around us. Lean into us. Join us in this conversation and in this work. Make your wisdom known. Now, if you can, raise your hands above you. Spirits up above. Clouds and wind, sun, grandmother moon, star nations. You who are our ultimate ancestors, of whose dust we are formed. Overarch us. Shine your light upon us. Enlighten us. Shine within us with the same light. Let us see the path before us, and let us see ourselves, and let us see the path behind us. Lean into us. Join us in this conversation. Make your wisdom known. And now, if you can, place your hand on the floor. Note that the earth rises up to meet you in whatever guise you find. Earth, my mother, earth, my mother, earth, my mother. You cradle us as always. We are made of your stuff. We are yours. Remind us always that we are bone of your bone, blood of your blood, breath of your breath. Reach into us. Lean into us. Join us. Make your wisdom known. And then if you would place your hands on your heart. Light that is within, shine forth in each one of us with our true selves, the selves we came here to be. Show us to ourselves and show us to the world. So it is, so it shall be, so be it. So, ancestors, here we are. When shamans speak to ancestors, we speak to two sorts of ancestors, generally speaking. We speak to ancestors of place, and we speak to ancestors of humans. And those ancestors of humans can mean a number of things, depending on who's speaking about them. They can mean the ancestors of your actual DNA, your line that goes back, and we're all jumbled up together, and none of us are any further apart than 53rd cousins, so we all share those same ancestral humans, and if you are speaking to the first person who was ever a shaman, then you are speaking to an ancestor that we all share. And there are also ancestors that are like holy people. So if you listen to the Navajo, to the Diné, speak about their origins, then you know that they're human, and that they were met by holy people who taught them how to be human, who gave them practices for being fully human. And that sort of ancestor is another one that we claim as human. And then there are the ancestors that kept our first ancestors alive. And those might be, if you're in Northern Europe like I am, and my DNA just goes straight back into Northern Europe, then reindeer is probably an ancestor. That is, reindeer will have been someone who kept my human ancestors alive as a source of food and clothing and shelter for tents and all that sort of thing. And then there may be others as well. So people who have, like, those are called totems in Algonquin Native American, dotem, which is taken by the English to be totem. And that means, you know, who he or she who kept the first ancestor alive. So those are also our ancestors. So when we call on ancestors, we're calling on a really wide variety of persons in native human type of thinking about it. So persons of a variety of kinds. And that's a part of who we will be calling on today. So it'll be interesting to you to see how your ancestors show up when we call on them. And one of the questions I just want to raise with you to ask you is, if you've been doing self-development work really for quite some time, then what is the context in which your life, full of this self-development work and you becoming more fully yourself and sharing yourself more fully in the world, what is the context in which that happens? I'm going to give you my opinion. You know, take it or leave it. But I think that in our society now, here in the early 21st century, we have developed ourselves to think of ourselves as very separate, very much individual, so that who I become in all this self-development work is of utmost importance. And there is a flavor in all of that as well of, if I really develop myself, I will just transcend this body and it won't bother me anymore. And I'm going to just offer that that is not the point of being human. If you wanted to not have a body, why would you come here? I mean, that's just a question to ask yourself. It's one of those things like when you catch yourself wishing that you didn't have to live through, you know, this next 5 years because it's going to be miserable. What the alternative is not living through it. So you just want to think that one all the way to the end. And so I'm inviting you to think this thing about transcending the body all the way through to its logical conclusion and see if that's actually what you mean. And I would offer that there is a place we have got to as human beings, which is not sustainable. We're in a bit of a crash situation right now. We're just on the brink. If you're in North America, you may not be aware of that, but the rest of the world knows it. And probably you do too, if you're listening to this. So we're in this situation, and more of the same is not going to get us out of it. So there's got to be a next. There has to be a thing that we're all doing together so that there is a next thing for us to be that is the next thing and not more of the same. I'm offering that, and that is my context for offering this other context for doing the work. So I would submit that we are not here doing this work so that we become fulfilled beings. Much as I would like to be a fulfilled being, sounds great to me, I think there is a bigger context. And the context I'm going to offer today is not even the whole thing, but it's a piece of it, and it's a stepping stone and a place to kind of begin to think about how your life fits into a larger whole. So from the shamanic perspective, everything is connected. Nothing exists on its own. And if you are any kind of biologist at all, and that doesn't mean you've studied biology at university, but you just kind of know about how things work, you'll remember food chains and food webs, and you'll understand and remember, well, you might remember the oxygen cycle and the nitrogen cycle and the carbon cycle and the water cycle, all that stuff, and how interrelated it all is. So for us to consider ourselves somehow separate from the rest of nature, and we are part of nature, and our bodies somehow a burden to us, if that is indeed the way that we feel, runs counter to what we actually know is true. We know it as scientists, and we know it as shamans, both of those things. So here we are embedded in this web that we cannot escape. We absolutely must have. The only way out is to die, and the body still stays here and stays part of the web. You know, the worms eat it. So what is it that we contribute? Why would we want to bother? You can give yourself over to despair and just say, oh, well, when my life is over, my body goes back to the worms, and what is the point? I'll just indulge myself. Or you can start to kind of ask with your body, why is it then that we have arisen to this point, you know, like stuck our heads up out of the net and taken a look at it and out of the web and just looked. So that's the kind of thing that I want us to do together. And then to say personally, how do I then fit? You know, why am I here in this web? You know, am I without agency? Or is there a reason and a thing I contribute? And are there choices for me to make? So I'm going to then just offer you this. I think that we're going to have to not step backwards into an Indigenous point of view, but step forwards into an Indigenous point of view, where we take with us everything we have learned, everything that we know, including our own ability to be separate, or at least to perceive ourselves that way, and all the damage that, you know, us doing that may have done. None of it irreparable, by the way, except that, you know, time moves on, and if the polar bears go extinct, that we probably won't get them again. There'll be something else. But the biosphere will be fine. She will mend herself. We probably won't be here if we keep on going like we're going. But, you know, the Earth will be fine. So what is it then that we could be becoming that might help us all to get on here together and for humans to be a contribution to this web of life now, in the upcoming years? I'm not saying we haven't been a contribution in the past. I'm just saying, here standing at the brink where we are, how do we maybe try something on to be a contribution? So stepping forward into an Indigenous point of view, we belong to the Earth, and we are part of the Earth. The Earth is way bigger than us, so we don't own the Earth. And we are a part of a stream of life, all of which has sacred intelligence, and some of which is human. Narrowing that point of view again, some of that human stream of life runs directly into our DNA. Okay? And those people, the ones who moved on and didn't get stuck here, and keep in mind that they're, you know, are people who get stuck and miss their bus and need to be helped through the door. But most of them made the transition, if you consider that, you know, from the beginning of when there were humans. Then those people may still have energetic form as those people. And that is a part of who we call on as the ancestors. Some of the rest of who we call on as the ancestors are all of those other bedrock forms of beautiful life, from viruses up through in complexity out, you know, up through those dodens who kept our first ancestors alive, the reindeer and the wolf and the bear, and, you know, fill in the gap, the eagle, all of those people as well. So my question to you is then, my experience of other beings is that they are compassionate and they are on our side, not on the side of our egos, but on the side of our development, and they are on the side of our learning and our development for a reason. And that reason is bigger than I can get my head around, but I can sense it being there, and I would invite you to sense and see if you feel the same thing. So there is a Native American saying about being an answer to the prayers of my ancestors. And my question that I am living in right now is, how is it that I can be an answer to the prayers of my ancestors? And I could try to figure that out in my head, but it's much more useful for me to just live in it. So we're going to, if you're willing, I mean, you don't have to do this, but if you're willing, I'm going to send you on two journeys down into your own body, into your own deep cave of knowing, in which you will, the first one, encounter your ancestors and ask them, you know, easiest thing to do, really, is rather than try to figure it out, is to ask them, you know, at least, what is a step I could take? What is a good, you know, first step from here towards being an answer to your prayers? So, without much further ado, I will rattle you in, and I'll actually talk you down into that deep cave of knowing, and then I will leave you there, and I'll rattle while you speak with the ancestors and take a look at what they tell you. And while I'm talking about this, you might want to get a piece of paper and pen, because you may want to then make a few notes, draw a picture, write sentences or whatever it is that occurs to you as the thing to help you remember. Because if you find yourself in an altered state and then you gather information, unless you come back and you come out of that altered state, you may find the information slipping away from you. So what we're going to do then is to ask the ancestors the question once you get into your dark, deep cave of knowing, and note that here's how spirit answers, just in case you haven't done this before. If you have, you'll know this, is that the first thing that you see, sense, hear, intuit, that's the overall answer. And then anything else that comes after it is like elucidation. It's like a little extra and extra details, and here's another way of looking at it. It's that sort of thing. If you're utterly baffled, just say, wait, guys, wait. I didn't get any of that. Could you show me in a different way? And, generally speaking, they will. And what they're going to do is to pull stuff out of your own mind and your own memory. So they'll pull images and situations and, words and sounds and smells and all that stuff out of your own mind. So that's the raw material. So if it looks familiar and sounds familiar and feels familiar and smells familiar, it is familiar because they're using that raw material so that it is stuff that is readily available to you and probably pretty readily readable to you. So don't despair if it feels like it all came out of your mind. It did. But yours is not the only agency involved, is all I'm saying. You're not the only person acting here. So here's what we're going to do. Okay, so here we go. What I'd like you to do is, if you can, is to close your eyes. And let your attention drift downward just a bit. Pay attention to your breath, the tide of it coming in, going out. Nothing to do about it. Just notice it. Notice the places where your body meets the chair or the floor or the bed or whatever it is you're sitting or lying on. Just breathe. And then let your attention spiral downward, twisting gently, whirling softly down through your torso, into that hammock of your pelvic girdle. Down into that deep and dark cave of knowing. In women, this is your womb. Whether or not you have a physical womb still, it's still your womb. In men, this sits right above your perineum, that pelvic floor muscle. And as we find ourselves resting in that dark cave, knowing, we're just going to call out ancestors, 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 grandmothers, 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 grandfathers, grandfathers, grandfathers. Come and sit with us. Come and teach us. And watch and see who comes through the walls of that cave to sit with you. Notice how their shoulders feel against your shoulders. Maybe how their knees feel against your knees. How their faces are lit in the firelight. So here they are. your own ancestors. Notice who they are. And then ask them your question. So now, as the last of the answer plays out in front of you, it's time for you to thank your ancestors and watch their message slowly rise and make their way out through the walls of the cave. And then gently let your attention just float upwards and upwards until you are back in your whole body. Notice where the earth rises up and supports you. Notice the tide of your breath coming and going. And when you are ready, then you can return to the light by opening your eyes. So well done, you. While I'm talking here, you may very well want to write some things down. If there's anything that struck you, if it looked self-evident to you, probably you should write it down, because those are just the sorts of things that leak away when our state of mind changes, when our state of being and consciousness alters back into the ordinary reality, because you have taken a step out of ordinary reality into what is called the shamanic state of consciousness or non-ordinary reality. And then you will be stepping back at some point in time as we close the show for certain. And that's the time when this kind of information can leak away. So I'm hoping that as I'm talking, you're ignoring me and you're actually writing down what it is that the ancestors showed you. So my fervent prayer is that you will take action on that, because having insights is not valuable at all unless they are put into action pretty much immediately. I'm not asking you to jump up right this moment, but, you know, today, tomorrow, those sorts of times. Yes, absolutely. Make it real. Realize it by putting yourself into action in some way related to what the ancestors told you just now. So that's a piece of where you fit into this flow of life and flow of human life. And of course, they're the ancestors who came before you. There are the people who are here with you now, and they will benefit from anything that you put into action. And then there are those people who will be here after you. And so part of my reason for doing this work is not just for myself and the quality of my life now. It's not just for my children and grandchildren now, as they exist, my husband and my sisters and nieces and nephews and, you know, friends and community and all of those folk whom I love dearly. But it is also because I am very clear that I am completely a part of this flow of life. I'm not above it somewhere watching it. I'm not out separate from it watching it somewhere over there. I'm here embedded in it. And who I am being not only influences and ripples out around me now, in each now that I am in, but also it will, because it impacts the now that I am in, it also will impact the now that exists in each future moment, and the now that will exist for my great-grandchildren, whom I probably will not see, because I think people are giving birth later, I'm probably not going to make it that long. I might, but I won't see them all the way to adulthood. I won't know what their lives are like. And particularly at this cusp where we are, it makes a big difference who I am being, who you are being, who each of us is being. The choices that we make, because who humanity bees next is the sum and some more of who each of us is becoming. So I'm inviting you to include that in who you're being and why you're being it and what kind of questions you're living in. So one of my questions that I'm living in right now is, how do I get my feet on the path to becoming an ancestor worth claiming by future generations? How do I do that? And just in asking the question, of course, the universe is fabulous and it throws up answers. Here, try this. Here, do that. Here, be this. So different for every one of us. So I don't have the answers to how you do that, but I do have the question. And I do also know that we have access not only to our ancestors, but in our bodies, we have access to our descendants. And I'm going to tell you why I think that's so. Because, distressing as this is, and hard as it is for me to get my head around, time is an invention. It's not a cruel invention of Victorian taskmasters, you know, with some nefarious purpose in mind. It is a useful invention that all of us here in this material universe have somehow created together. But it is just a construct. It doesn't necessarily have any reality of its own. It feels very real to you and me because we have chosen to have bodies that are embedded in time and that function in a way that we can account for by using time to account for that. I know this is not easy. It's not easy for me to even articulate. So I have the sense that just like I have access to my ancestors as if they were still alive on the planet, except just not with bodies, likewise, I have access to my descendants and my sister's descendants and the descendants of this community here where I live and, you know, humanity's descendants here on the planet. I was just doing a little bit of a calculation for a friend of mine who was saying, you know, I can go back four or five generations and all of them are, you know, like Denmark. So surely none of my ancestry goes back anyplace else. And I did the multiplication of how you figure out, say, 800 years ago, how many people are actually in your family tree. You know how it spreads when you go from parents to grandparents to great-grandparents. It doubles each time. It's like 4 billion. You know, if you go back 800 years, that's way more people than were on the planet. So clearly there's a lot of overlap. But it just kind of goes to show you that it's hard to get your head around. And likewise, you know, all of our descendants are all of our descendants, just like all of our ancestors are all of our ancestors. So any of them could be looking to you as an ancestor, is what I'm saying. And I had not until recently actually thought about this, and it may have to do with my age, you know, because I am old, but it may also have to do with the time that we are in, is, you know, how do we do right by those people who are coming after us? And I'm not talking about, you know, how presidents like to leave a legacy. This is my legacy. You know, prime ministers do the same thing, politicians. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about who will I be being in my life that would make me a useful person to call on when I'm dead. Not deified, just, you know, of some use with something to teach and maybe knowing something and having left maybe my corner of the planet a little bit better than it was when I got here or than it might have been. Maybe may not be possible to leave it better than it was when I got here, but, you know, maybe better than it would have been if I hadn't been here. So that sort of question. So that's my next invitation to you is to make a similar journey down into your deep cave of knowing and ask to meet some of your descendants and ask them, what would an ancestor, you know, named Laurie or named whatever your name is, that was worth calling on, you know, that might be of some use to you. What would that ancestor look like? What would I need to be doing and being in order to become that ancestor? And what would be a good first step to doing that? So gird up your loins. I don't think it's going to be as terrible as we might think it might be. And if there's this voice in your head that says, who do you think you are that you might be, you know, that you might become an ancestor worth claiming, just thank it for sharing and move on, because that voice is the cultural voice that you have been trained into by our culture. And this kind of question is a very politically dangerous question, because our politics and our order depends on our economic order, because we're pretty much, I won't even go into that, but it does depend on our economic order. And the economic order depends on consumerism, and consumerism depends on us staying unaware of ourselves and our impact and our connectedness. Because if you feel separate and disenfranchised and at a loss, then you're much more likely to buy more stuff. And I know that sounds highly cynical of me, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I am a realist. And I look around me, and I've lived on this planet quite a while time, you know, long time, and I'm going, yeah, that's what it's really been about. If you look at advertising, that's, nobody there is there for my good. You know, they're there to sell stuff. There's money involved, Bob. So just keep that one in mind, and don't give that voice in your head any credence if it shows up, because, you know, it's going to be there, because that's who we've got sitting on our shoulder most of the time. So only with practice does it pipe down a bit. So here we go. We're going to do the same sort. I'll talk you in. And then your question is, how do I begin to become an ancestor worth claiming, descendants? So here we go. Find yourself a comfortable place. And we're off. So notice. Notice where your body meets the floor. Notice your breath, the tide of it coming in, going out. And then we're going to let our attention, our awareness, drop down into our bodies, spiraling, twisting, gently turning, till we fall into the arms of our pelvic girdle and into the arms of our deep cave of knowing. And here we'll rest. And then we'll call out, descendants. Thrilling. Unknown. Courageous, luminous descendants, you who have the courage to come into this world after me, come and join me here, and then notice who comes through the walls of your deep cave of knowing. How do their shoulders feel against yours? And maybe their knees against your knees. What aromas do they bring with them? When you have all settled yourselves, then ask the question, how do I become an ancestor worth claiming by you? And now as the last of your ancestors show themselves, and your descendants gently make their way through the walls of that deep cave, knowing back out into their own place in the universe. Let your attention drift upwards and upwards and upwards until you are inhabiting your entire body. You can feel the places where the earth rises up to support you and her guides as chair, floor. You notice the tide of your breath coming. The light by opening your eyes. And then once again, there may be some things that you need to write down. If that was difficult for you, all the much more reason to write it down, because it will have confronted a habit or something that you find easy to do or be, and ask you possibly to do something a little more difficult. And that's the sort of thing that our conservative animal selves very rapidly let go of, because that's the way we are, not because we're bad or awful or lazy or mean or anything. It's just the way we are. So writing them down, drawing yourself a notation or a diagram or, you know, whatever it is that you need to do to put on paper to make concrete somehow the answer that your descendants, our descendants gave you about your own self, then that would be a good thing to do so that you have it back to it. So, first of all, I would like to thank you for your courage. This is well outside what we consider normal here in this culture and in this time. So, it's different and possibly a little challenging. I find it, you know, challenging from time to time in a very different way of looking at my life. We're used to looking at our lives as I belong to me alone, that's my right as an individual, and my life belongs to me. And in the sense that you are responsible for your life, that is absolutely really the only mature way to undertake living. But I would offer to you that possibly yourself and your life belong not only to you and not only to your wider community of not just humans, but all beings here on this planet, but also to your ancestors. You stand on their shoulders. They made your life possible. They have their own prayers for you. And also, of course, to your descendants, to all of our descendants, because they depend on you. Who we are now, that's going to determine the kind of world that they live in, who they get to become, what their range of choices is in that regard. So that to me is a different way of looking at my life as embedded in a stream, a part of that stream, completely, really, and beholden kind of in both directions, just like everybody else in that stream is. It's not just me that's beholden both directions, you know, but my sons are beholden both directions, and my parents are beholden both directions. All of those people. So that's what links the links of the chain together, is that reciprocity in time, you know, across time and across space, sideways, of course, within our own communities. So thank you for your courage in undertaking this. And I would invite you to use it as a practice, say in the next 2 weeks, to use it 6 or 7 times. That's pretty frequently. That's like every other day. Just to see how the answers are different and what they build up to. And if you want to tell me about it, I would be thrilled. Email me. I really, really would like to hear what people have to say about this. I'm very interested in it at a cellular level. So please do email me the results. I will email you back, I promise. We'll be in communication. My details are on the News for the Soul page for Shamanic Works. And there you have it. I would love for us to all have a conversation about this, no matter when you pick this radio program up, whether you listen live or whether you picked it up out of the archive. So thank you. Blessings on you. And thank you to the spirits of the East and of the South and of the West and of the North and of above and below and the light within. Thank you. Thank you for joining me, and have a blessed, wonderful 2009.